Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for coming back to the room to join my talk about VXLAN. I want to give you a brief overview over VXLAN. Some of you might have heard about it, some not. It's technology coming from the data center space. And it's mostly about the terminology here. And Nico from Falzcom is afterwards talking a bit about the how to operate a VXLAN network. So first of all, let's talk a bit about the architectures. If you talk about something like VXLAN, you usually start with an underlay and an overlay network. The underlay is essentially the physical network you're building. It has plain IP routing, and you're putting an overlay network on top of the underlay network, which is then something like VXLAN or VPLS. So why would you do something like this? This is for, well, traffic separation, first of all. You can use layer 3 instead of layer 2 below. You're minimizing the size of your layer 2 domain, and it's essentially a scalable model. So in this case, you're seeing a leaf spine architecture, where you have the spines, you can scale them out, and you can have leaves attached to it. So in this example here, you actually see that the layer 2, layer 3 separation happens in the leaf. A leaf can be something like a rack, let's say like that. Also, as we're using layer 3 in the underlay, we can rely on something easy as ECMP. You don't need to put more capacity in if you don't need it or for redundancy reasons. And you can actually just use every single link you're throwing between your leaf and your spine. So you're relying on layer 3, layer 4 load balancing algorithms, which also gives you the possibility to not run into any link polarization you might have on layer 2 protocols or on MPLS. This brings me then to VXLAN itself. So VXLAN was filed as an RFC and is ratified a couple of years ago. And it has been co-authored by various different vendors, including Arista, Broadcom, Cisco, VMware. So you see VXLAN not only in network devices per se, but also in support by network interface cards, support by hypervisors, for example, or by Linux distributions. So this enables you to build layer 2 boundaries, layer 2 domains, across multiple leaves in your network. It's fairly transparent. To be fair, the most important difference to VPLS is, first of all, you don't require MPLS. But you still have MAC learning. Let's go a bit on the basics. And as I said, mostly important is to talk about the terminology, as Nico will provide a bit more insight on the details here. So the layer 2 overlay network is essentially MAC and IP. You have a layer 2 protocol, you take Ethernet frames, you encapsulate them in UDP and send them over to the remote point where it gets decapsulated. Therefore, you actually are able to scale quite significantly. In terms of the terminology, you might hear the term VTAP more often. A VTAP essentially is a device or a tunnel endpoint which encapsulates or decapsulates VXLAN traffic. This can be a switch. This can be a hypervisor. A VTAP has to know about the other VTAPs who are participating in the same layer 2 domain. Then we have the virtual tunnel identifier, which is essentially the IP interface where the VXLAN traffic is distinct or sourced from. And this IP sits in the underlay network. So it's used for the communication to the other VTAPs. We also have the virtual network identifier, VNI. If you think of a VNI, it is something like, well, similar to a VLAN, but you have a 24-bit field. So you can do, what is it, 16 million potential VNIs instead of just 4,096. So as you can see, this scales way more than just using regular VLANs. Also important to mention, if you have a VNI and a VLAN on the other side, you can have, I think we have it here, yeah. We have VLAN 10 on the left side, then we encapsulate it into a VNI in VXLAN and break it out again into VLAN 10. Those two VLANs do not need to be the same on both sides. It can be, but there's, well, if you already have VLAN 10 in use on the, well, on router 2, it can be VLAN 20. VXLAN does not really care about the VLAN ID in this case. And you're still able to have one single layer to domain. So how does a VXLAN frame actually look like? You have a, well, regular Ethernet header, and you're adding some VXLAN information on top of that. So we're having the VNI as a 24-bit field, we're adding a UDP header, we're adding source IP of the local VTI, virtual tunnel interface, and the remote VTI of the remote VTAP. And then also adding the regular switching fields on top of it. The really cool thing here is that as it is UDP, it's pretty easy hashable on the IP links you have towards your spines or towards other interconnected, well, the interconnects towards your backbone if you have more than one link. This significantly brings down the link polarization, as I mentioned before, and you're able to scale to quite a significant number. The entropy itself is generated from a hash inside of the from a hash of the inner frame on the UDP side. So you're actually not looking into the payload in this case, but you're only looking into the encapsulated VXLAN IP packet. So you can have the entropy, and you don't need to play around with something like entropy labels to actually get the entropy for the link. For the link caching and the ECMP. On the control plane options, I'm only mentioning a very few briefly here, as this is more like a lightning talk. EVPN is just a data plane protocol. It takes packets, it encapsulates it, it sends it somewhere, it decaps it, that's it. What's actually going on top of it is a whole different story. You can have a controller-based model, the classical SDN approach. This can be VMware NSX, this can be OpenStack. Whatever you have in your network can take the controller role in this particular case. You can have something like an IP multicast control plane, where the VTAP joins a multicast group, because you have to make sure that the bum traffic broadcast multicast traffic is distributed across all your VTAPs so that you have some kind of MAC learning. It's like this classical, who has MAC XYZ? It's somewhere over there in your network. You have to get this information somehow. So this is how you have bump traffic for the first few packets. It's essentially flood and learn via multicast. This has kind of limited deployments, and a lot of vendors are actually migrating away from it because they're using head-end replication. Head-end replication is similar to the IP multicast control plane, but using unicast instead. So you have to actually specify hard code in your config or whatever, the VTAPs you have in your network, and potentially the VNIs attached to it. Therefore, it is a fairly static setup, but it's also the most fault-tolerant you can have. And for the more advanced users in the data center space, they're actually using EVPN as a control plane for VXLAN. So EVPN carries the MAC to IP bindings between the VTAPs and makes sure that broadcast is handled in the most efficient way. That's it. The question slide I would just skip for Nico. We do a combined Q&A session in the end to not steal more time from him. And yeah, thank you for your time.